gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, it's just you and me against the world yesterday, Chris.
I know.
And now look what's happened.
We're a full house.
Comedy magic. Jim Ward is back from the sick bay. And Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire, live on the Big Show. Good morning.
You need to get right up on that microphone.
Yes, you're way far away from the microphone. You're in Siberia.
How's that, everybody?
Oh, much better.
Good morning. Good morning, sir. Jim, do you have the Ebola? Are you okay?
No, I don't have a fever. I've just been coughing my head off all weekend.
Oh.
And it turns out violently coughing is a great ab workout. It's good for your core.
Good.
Maybe
spectacular.
Paul Ryan could look into that.
Hacker's eyes. The new trend.
You wouldn't believe the workout I have. I have walking pneumonia. So at least it's an active pneumonia, which is good.
Spinning pneumonia is very good.
Yes, exactly. Oh, Jim, you'll be happy to know because you previously said pretty much spinning causes sickness, and my doctor said pretty much.
Uh-huh.
A germ bay in there.
Yeah. Well, it's a germ bay, and also it reduces your immune system when you work out really hard.
Well, no, that wasn't the point. You have to wipe down everything.
Right.
You have to make it like a surgery in there.
Yeah,
apparently.
Yeah. Quarter mile of sweat on that thing. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Hey, looky, we got Free Speech TV swag, though, everybody.
We do.
Check me out. I'm wearing my new Free Speech TV hat. They sent us these. And check this out. This is how you know you're on a liberal network. They sent me, like, all sorts of homeopathic. This is chakra balancing. Throat.
Wow. Wow.
Right? They don't give this out at Fox News when you get sick.
Oh, God, no.
Brian Kilmeade. Nobody cares about his chakras. Look at
they
this.
They give you Farron balancing.
It's throat chakra stuff. I'm putting it on right now. You wear it like perfume. It's delightful. Here, pass it around.
What? Oh, my God.
Brian Kilmeade would eat it.
Thank you.
Food.
Can I have a lollipop instead?
Oh, I kid. I kid, of course. All right. So
you
Rick,
kid because that would be Steve Doocy who would do that.
Exactly. Because he's the deucier of all the deucies.
The deuciest.
All right. Rick, you called in yesterday to jump into the fray for Jim on the... Lindsey Graham this morning said... Oh, I apologize. Did I say that Chris Christie seems like a bully? Let me rephrase that. That's not what it lends to an image of. This is why it's such a big problem, because it plays exactly into who he is. It's not like it's, this is just so shocking. Chris Christie, what?
Yeah, no.
Right?
And everyone that says they're really mad at him and the next day they're backpedaling and apologizing. It seems like they're all waking up with the engine block of their car and their bed sheets in the morning. Just the Beamer head with the valves. Covered in oil, you know.
That head used to be on my horse yesterday. What?
Yeah.
He couldn't be involved.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, somebody was saying was saying yesterday that extra long news conference. It was
right.
Like the scene from The Godfather when you cut to the scenes of all the enemies getting buried for an average.
Right.
I'm really sorry. I'm.
Accidents happen.
Yeah, Michael takes over and just takes out the other heads, right?
But today's the State of the State address.
Right. How is the State of the State, I wonder?
I don't know. Pretty trafficy, from what I understand.
It's a little backed up.
Yeah.
GW Beanie's a little, colon blow. and now, of course, this is the drip, 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 right? There's, like, pretty much every mayor in New Jersey's going, me too.
Whatever the prevailing wind is, I'm watching the windsock out the window here.
Exactly. No, I mean, we have
go with the flow. I took 1 week of improv.
I mean, the thing is,
yes,
you know what's hardest is when it's too easily understandable. This is just, it's too easily understandable. It's not some complex kind of scandal. People,
no.
I mean, I don't know if you watched, I was watching, a bunch of Rachel and stuff yesterday, who's doing a great job on this. And it couldn't be clearer, like the Jersey City mayor, did you see that? That they just, there couldn't have been more obsequious emails. They were like the polite chipmunks. Oh, Mr. Mayor, welcome to office. Congratulations. How might we help?
After you. Oh, no. You first. Thank you.
Could we order lunch? Well, we'd love to. Everyone in the state will be there. And then he said he's not going to endorse him, right? And it's like everyone cancels. It's like that sad little kid's birthday party. One little deflated balloon. The pony gets canceled. I mean, you know.
The clown shows up drunk.
Well.
Yeah, the kids are crying. Then the clown starts crying.
It shakes
He's
the clown.
He's sad inside, you know.
I went to Juilliard.
Yeah.
Bad Santa shows up instead. Yeah, but, I mean, it just couldn't be clearer. That it, you know, well, I mean, obviously it's more political retribution. That they just said, you know, sorry, you didn't endorse him.
How do you not solve this stuff earlier? You got, you know, the kids, those meddling kids from Scooby-Doo could have solved this.
Yeah.
Skloink.
Skloink.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I'm getting used to my box again.
It's the same box you had before.
I've been too sick to touch it. I meant this.
Oh, okay.
That's what I meant. Sorry, wrong button. All right. So, yeah, we have Jersey City Mayor, Hoboken Mayor, alleges possible retribution with Hurricane Sandy. And then I love that. I love the TV ad people. So he went with the people that were $2 million more. The bids were because because his giant head would be in the ads.
That's right.
I mean, it's $2 million, and a lot of people still haven't rebuilt their homes there.
Right. And his giant head would be in the ads during a campaign period.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Oh, my God. How authentic did that look? They're all on the beach.
Exactly.
We're New Jersey strong. That's right. We're New Jersey. Shut up. What are you, like, you're usually here.
Yeah, I think. Mayor. I think that the right is done with them.
Yeah. No, I know. Not a lot of people. I love all the people that might be running against him. Right? Yeah. Santorum. And they're all like, let's step take a wait and see.
I'm Spartacus.
I'm Spartacus.
Meanwhile, Hillary's laughing her pantsuit off somewhere. She says, Bill, get back in here. Get back in here. This is awesome.
I'm sure there's going to be like a sort of Star Search-like audition for the new hot person. That's going to be a great circus to watch when they do the high-speed auditions, the speed dating, them through.
This is what we were talking about yesterday, Chris and I, that they have a problem with, I mean, not just the 24-hour news cycle and the speed. Republicans don't vet. Look at Sarah Palin. They're just like, oh, we have a new
superstar. Look at her, she's a star.
Chick. Like Jim said, when they picked Michael Steele to run the RNC, he goes, you know, you do get this, not just any black guy, right?
They quickly found that out.
Well, we have a new thing. Look, he's fat. He's fat. We're inclusive. It's a fresh new thing.
We're inclusive of a fatty, fatty 2x4.
Oh, what? We're not supposed to use that phrase? Oh, we're sorry. We're trying to not be the bully party anymore.
I'm big boned, okay? Can't see my bones.
Oh my God!
Covered in fat.
Did you see the high school picture yesterday on TV? They're showing his high school because apparently his guy that was his best friend. He has no idea who he was. Hey, listen, I was class president and athlete. You're like,
what?
I don't know what he was doing. David Wildstein, the whatever his capo.
Yeah.
I mean, aide. Whatever.
God.
But anyway, Rick, they showed the high school pictures. And he was much thinner. I think in your head, like every bully in your childhood, you know, Biff from
from back in the future,
the blonde guy from Karate Kid comes up. He looks
Billy Zabka.
He looks exactly like that guy. Yeah, you saw Roman Gomez.
Roman Gomez, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, you saw Carol Fisher.
Right, superimposed on that head.
And there's an actor
pushing me
note
through
here.
The bushes at the Y.
Oh, man. There's an acting note, too. You want to play a bully? Here's a common trait that if you want to nail the bully, watch what Tom Wilson does as Biff.
Yep.
He goes, he doesn't go, McFly. He goes, McFly. And he leaves his mouth open. And there's some weird primal dog early teeth thing about it that adds to the bully. And his and Christy is this mouth breathing.
That's true. That's Tom Wilson does that.
Yeah, but so does Christy. It just, he goes,
He's got that same look.
Somebody sent me a picture of President Obama holding a baby, and they're like, that's the problem. Chris Christie would eat them. This one looks tasty.
I've got a hankering for baby.
By the way, kids, that acting lesson from Uncle Rick Overton, free.
Free.
Absolutely free.
Right. Free! Free!
You played a lot of roles. You probably played a bully or two.
Yeah, I played Matt Damon's boss. It was a total jerk. And The Informant.
Yes, that's great movie.
And Tom Wilson was in the movie.
And, I think I knew five people in that movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I got to hang out with the Smothers Brothers.
Ooh. What's happening? What's happening? Oh, it's time
getting
for church, everybody.
From Mars.
What is that?
Digital
wow.
feedback.
That is weird. Sorry, I was.
The Martians have arrived.
Okay.
Jim was down here tuning his guitar last night. We apologize. All right.
I think they're working on the phone lines is what it is.
Ah. They must be working on the bridge,
yes.
I guess.
I read in New Jersey, oh boy. About a dumpy man who made us wait. And though his story's very bad, well, I just had to laugh. His alibi was crap. We blew our tempers in our cars. Couldn't help notice that the lanes had changed. And though the cones were rather small, they had to place them all. Now they know how many cones it takes to lose the house this fall. I'd love to turn.
Yay!
Yay!
Wow, Rocky Mountain Mike.
Mike.
By the way, he's an excellent photographer.
He is.
Did you get the pictures of Carmel?
Big Sir?
Oh my God!
Yeah, I got
too much talent.
Yeah.
Too much talent. Too much. All right. Speaking of which, too much talent in this room.
We need to
thin down. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue. Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio. Jim Ward back, full strength. Here we go. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
What? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour.
Can I get a what? What?
What?
No,
what?
You can't do that.
What?
You do it too closely together.
By the way, for those of you watching on Free Speech TV, the guy that's crawling around.
Yeah.
Between my legs.
That was Tony.
Right. It's Tony and Craig who built our fine radio studio here.
That's right.
In Mama's house. How do you like the new studio?
I like it. I love what you've done with it.
Thank
it looks
you.
Just like your place.
You like what I've done with the place?
Yeah.
Just built a little radio and TV studio over the holidays. What did you do?
I went into the wilds of the cold weather of Aurora, Illinois.
Did you?
Oh, dear.
How was
you
that?
You were there during that whole cold snap, weren't you?
Just a little bit at the beginning of it,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
But it was just a little reminder about... Wow, yeah. When it hits the 40s around here, I have to shut the F up.
Right, right, because it was like 80 here yesterday.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So just to bring a big steamy cup,
yeah,
SDFU.
Precisely.
All right. I also had a very productive cough over the holidays, as you know. As you were saying, Jim, if you could make money from phlegm, I would be a multi-millionaire
yes.
by now.
Monetize phlegm. That's my
There's got to be some kind goal. Of lubricant you can make from it or something.
I've got to get on that.
Industrial solvent.
Yes.
So last week, as we were saying, I got sick. Let's see, we made one day of the TV debut week.
Yeah. You made one day.
I made one day.
Jim and I
you
made
and Jim
two
carried
days.
On. Jim,
yes.
Rick Overton helped paint the fence.
Thank you.
Then you got sick on Wednesday, and then
yeah.
we shot the show, and
yeah.
just, we euthanized it for the rest of the week.
I hope I didn't get Will Ferrell sick when I shook his hand at the gym.
Oh, my God, he ran into Will Ferrell, and Will Ferrell said, oh, my God, you handled that call great this morning.
Yeah, remember the troll call from Texas?
Yes, right.
Yes.
He
pulled me over at the gym and said, I love what you did with that call. That was so awesome. How do you guys do that?
Hey.
I'm like,
Hi,
you're Will Ferrell.
I will. I love him so much. I got to go see Anchorman.
I would love to tell him that I started doing George Bush before he did, but he probably wouldn't appreciate that.
Yeah.
he is the awesome. Mm-hmm. By the way, Golden Globes. We considered having Jacqueline Bisset fill in for me. Thank God we didn't go that
way. Thank God.
Thank God we went a different direction.
A direction other than her.
Yeah, we went another direction.
Yes. She drunk dialed me and asked for the job, but no.
Tough bird.
That was awesome. That was so awesome. I know, because we have actor friends. We have actor friends, as you know, in Hollywood. I won't say who, but a lot of people are memorizing it and going to use it as a monologue.
Yeah.
Jacqueline Bisset.
Yeah. That's great.
So awesome. By the way, Julie in Seattle said that we look pretty good for Children of the Corn, you and I.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Other than the two big red-ringed eyeballs and the oxygen-deprived bluish complexions, Children of the Corn thing you and Chris have going, you kids look pretty good. Oh, and then she gave us the sign for polonium. Just in case there might have been right-wing polonium poisoning here. We're not sure yet. We won't know because that takes a while.
It does.
Right.
Jeez. Do we need to go on a cleanse?
I don't know. Listen, I have already cleansed my chakras thanks to Free Speech TV.
Oh, my God.
So there. Man. Oh, here's something else when you get really old. Steve says, Steph, you've had a tough time of it lately. I'd imagine your immune system is pretty much shot. Pretty much. I had, as you recall, bronchitis and laryngitis back in December, lost my voice.
Right.
We're about the same age. That puts us at the risk age for shingles. Ooh. Oh, good, something to look forward to. A friend of mine a few years younger came down with shingles, was out of work for several weeks in a lot of pain. Time to get the shingles vaccine. Awesome. If something to look forward to. And you think I have nothing to look forward to.
If you've had chicken pox, you can get shingles.
Yeah.
What the hell are shingles?
It's a really painful
skin. Rash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awful.
It feels like your skin is on fire for weeks on end.
Yeah.
Listen, I still can't get... This is the tape from the emergency room.
Did you try rubbing alcohol?
I don't have any. I have every other kind of alcohol. See, this is when everything goes to is when I stop drinking. I have not had a drink in over a week. Look at this.
100
proof. I was in the ambulance in the emergency room. Morphine, Xanax, I don't know what else. I'm all hopped up on whatever they...
Goofballs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Just saying.
Brown acid. Did you take the brown acid?
I don't know. They could have slipped me anything at that point.
They might have dosed you.
I might have been dosed.
Yeah.
How would you know?
You might have been traced or quattroed.
Exactly. Jim, by the way, in the words of the immortal Shirley MacLaine, get the shot. Get the shot.
Get the shot!
Right. Because I believe the CDC mentioned Jim Ward by name because there is a huge flu outbreak. They said, stop saying, last time I got the shot, I got sick, because then a lot of people don't get the shot. And then
this happens.
Then they get sick.
But I didn't have the flu because I didn't have a fever.
Oh, really?
I don't know what this is. It's probably...
Could be shingles.
Greater germ distribution system.
It could be after effects of your ectopic pregnancy.
Could be. Or I may be inhabited by aliens.
That could be. Chris,
thetans. I body thetans.
Thetans. Yes.
I've been searching for someone that had
And they're all really phlegmy.
They're Flemish.
We need to talk to Tom Cruise about the phlegmy thetans.
There's no greater germ distribution.
Next movie.
I was trying to find people that might have had a worse week than we did, and also this reminds me of an old Rick Overton comedy bit about your last trip to Amsterdam.
Oh, yes. That doesn't apply to anything anymore. You don't need to go to Amsterdam anymore.
No,
that's right. You go to Colorado.
Amsterdam.
Yeah, Colorado. Nevada.
That's right.
Covers it all.
To visit Free Speech TV.
You should call Denver International
and come back with a gift in certain areas. Anyway, this story is police find entire jewelry store inside teen's rectum.
Oh.
This is impressive. A teenager who crashed into a tree while allegedly driving under the influence of alcohol was found to have stashed an unusually large quantity of stolen jewelry inside his
rectum.
Right. Would you like to know what was there?
Soviet jewelry in his rectum.
Your father gave me this watch.
Never mind.
I kept it in my ass.
Four bracelets.
5 long years.
Four bracelets, 4 necklaces, 11 ladies' rings, a socket wrench, and a bag
of marijuana. And a partridge in a pear tree.
And a bag of marijuana.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
That is roomy.
Well, that's the padding, you know, to keep the jewelry safe.
It's roomy up in there.
He's just up there going, remember to breathe, remember to breathe.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You made a New Year's resolution.
Yeah, okay, I also said I would never make out with a garbage man. Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans.
It's not exactly what John Lennon had in mind when he said that. Making out with a garbage man. Rubbish man.
34 minutes after the hour. Fred has found a new mark, Rick Overton. Uh-oh, he made his way to you, Chris. All right.
Hi. Okay, I'm supposed to turn my back to him.
Jim was out sick yesterday, and it was just you had no buffer.
Right.
Fred was just directly in your lap the entire show.
Yep. Great.
You're going to start booking more guests, right? So he has like six people to get to before he gets to
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Chris, not a Chris turns into our friend Michael McDonald from Mad TV. All right, 1-800-STEP-12 the phone number, toll free from anywhere. How are we doing? Are the phones working this morning? Let's hope.
I don't know.
Okay, we're still tweaking.
Yes,
as they say, technically. All right, Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio with us. What were you saying? Oh, Katie Couric lost her TV show?
Well, yes, Katie Couric lost her TV show, and Sarah Palin showed her big fat head on television
right.
and said...
Because everyone cares about whatever Sarah Palin thinks about everything, Rick, as you know.
Yeah, she said regarding Katie Couric, what goes around comes around.
Oh, my God.
For asking her what newspaper she reads.
Right, well, that's karma for you.
Yeah. Suddenly, it's she's a pundit now,
right?
Which is, I guess, the next logical step,
right?
For someone that's been right. that much
right.
before.
Wait,
isn't that right?
By the way, I saw this in the L.A. Times. Oh, give Fred, give him some tongue. Okay. yeah, I saw this in the L.A. Times, and I wanted to yak about Sarah Palin. You know, she has a new reality show.
Oh, reality? Why do they keep attaching the word and reality to anything around her?
Right. Exactly. She was, she was at the, the press tour, the TV thing they have out here every year, where all the new shows get rolled out. I don't know what the hell it's called.
Yep, up front.
It's been a lot of canceled TV shows ago for me. Who can remember? But anyway, she said she blew into town carrying a simple message from the frozen hinterlands. Watch her new show, Amazing America, which will begin airing on, the Sportsman Channel. In the spring, she offered a prescription to remedy what she views as America's and many young women's excessive whining and pettiness.
Oh man! Wow.
kettle pot for you on line four.
Oh man! God.
She'll be on the Irony Channel.
If only there was such a thing, Rick. She said, she has some advice for you, girls. Spend less time gazing into the mirror and taking selfies. Oh, I see, and get a reality show instead because that's less self-involved.
Right, yeah.
Selfie with a crew.
Exactly, with a bigger crew. Isn't that exactly what reality TV is? It's a selfie.
With a crew.
You're not taking your own picture.
Yeah.
And Marcus Bachman said, hey, crew, I asked for bone.
She said her show is meant to champion the American values that make it exceptional. Among those values, well,
that probably is a Sarah Palinism.
She probably did use that word. Among those values, according to Palin, appreciation of the great outdoors, rugged individualism, and guns.
Oh,
that's
sure.
a value. A gun is a value.
Killing stuff. That's a value.
Killing things.
Right.
Killing.
Watching a life seep out of something. That's a value.
You know, because God said, "Thou shalt not." Oh, wait a minute.
Oops. Wait a minute. Huh? Father, what? By the way, did you see? Speaking of gun issues, did you see some old guy shot somebody to death for texting in a movie theater?
Yes.
Yeah. Boy, you're gonna see.
I'm kind
reactions.
Of on the fence about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, on the fence on that one.
You know,
that's the new. It was before the movie started, and he was texting his 3-year-old daughter to make sure she was okay.
Okay.
Yes, man and his wife were watching a movie, and they, a 71-year-old ex-cop, so it's one of those responsible gun owners.
Right, a good guy with a gun.
Yeah.
And, yikes.
I don't guess, he said it was described as a noisy texter, unless he was using Siri, but this is what I mean, this is how we solve disputes now in America, you just whip out a gun in a movie theater if someone's, I mean, yes, it's annoying, Jim, I grant you, not the same as driving while texting, but...
You're not going to crash the movie theater.
Yeah, this was
where
in
was it in Florida?
Florida.
How did I call that? It had to be in Florida, man. This is that should be the new the thing you see on the sign as you drive. Welcome to Florida.
Duck.
Yeah.
Stand your never mind. We don't have time to say the whole stand your.
You guys got to that joke at the same time.
Wow, you crashed. You okay? We need helmets in here.
Yeah.
Okay. In Florida, a moviegoer shot two people, one of them fatally, after one of them refused to stop texting during a movie.
Yep.
Man and his wife watching, watching Lone Survivor.
Yeah.
Asked the couple in front of them to stop texting. An altercation followed. The man reportedly pulled out a handgun and shot the two people in front of him.
Wow. How do you text noisily, anyway?
That's what I was saying, unless you're using the...
Unless you're using an abacus.
Isn't there a feature on the new iPhone where you can speak the text?
Well, yeah, since the 4S.
Right, I don't know how to use it, but I'm told that there is such a thing.
It's not texting if you're speaking.
You can dictate it. But I don't know if that's I don't even know if that's what he was doing. It just says he was making some kind of noise.
Wow.
Yeah, and which, of course, you deserve to be shot.
Maybe he was talking with his wife over what to say to his daughter.
Right.
That could be.
But it was before the movie started.
You're talking in the movie theater.
You're kind of allowed to talk to each other before the movie starts, I think.
Yeah. There's this guy who pulled a gun on a kid in the fast food lane, too, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, because he was taking too long to order.
Rick, do you know how I was lucky enough to meet Gabby Giffords and Mark Kelly over the holidays? And, by the way, did you see how she celebrated the anniversary of the Tucson shooting? She skydived?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Dear God, and I can't even get out of bed with a cough. And she's.
Anyway,
he's going to come on the show. I thanked him for everything they're doing to try to.
That's great.
Bring some reasonable gun legislation to this country. It's just. Did I tell you the story? I rushed out because I was so excited. I was eating lunch, and we're about to take the picture. And Gabby Giffords reaches up and goes, "You have food on your face."
Oh.
She wiped food off my face.
That's nice.
That's adorable.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
She's. You can see her heart just like shines through. Yeah. Anyway. I had to, because I saw this story, and you just, when you think our gun laws can't get more insane than Florida, this is in Missouri. Did you see this? Having failed in an earlier effort to bar federal agents from enforcing gun regulations in Missouri, conservative lawmakers are trying a new tack this year, banding together with other like-minded states to defy certain federal laws at the same time.
Oh, wow.
What other ones?
Missouri's latest proposal introduced this past week would attempt to nullify certain federal gun control regulations from being enforced in the state and subject law enforcement officers, wait for it, to criminal and civil penalties for carrying out such policies.
Wow.
The state's Republican-led legislature came one vote shy of overriding Democratic Governor Jay Nixon's veto of the measure last year. This year's bill adds a new twist, delaying the effective date for several years to allow time for other states to join the cause.
So just secede already.
Right.
That's what you're doing.
Like succeeding.
Go ahead. Do it.
Right. Courts
good luck getting power or roads.
This seems sort of like a wise idea to avoid, what's the word I'm looking for, anarchy.
Yeah.
Courts have consistently ruled that states cannot nullify federal laws, but that hasn't stopped states from trying or trying to ignore the laws anyway.
Okay, Johnny Grab, let's see how you do this time.
Yeah, get ready for your Berlin airlift of food from the liberals.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Lots to get to. We continue to talk about Bridgegate. Representative Frank Pallone, our good friend.
Yeah.
Don't play Eye of the Tiger.
I'm not going to play Eye of the Tiger.
Pallone, not Stallone.
Right. Thank you.
Not Frank Stallone, who we all know.
You went on a date with.
I did not.
Oh.
He hit on me at the Playboy Mansion.
That's right.
It's a long story. Okay.
I don't think there's any question that, you know, this was an effort to promote him. But the problem is it was at the expense of money that from the taxpayers that could have been used for other Sandy purposes.
Yeah, he's talking about the commercials that Chris Christie starred in during a campaign period so that he would get his mug on TV even more often.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you know when you bid for a project, Rick, this was $2 million more, these ads that happened to feature him and his family. I mean, it's incredible. Federal officials looking into whether Chris Christie improperly put Hurricane Sandy relief funds towards Jersey Shore tourism ads.
Mm.
And again, no one's disputing that you need to do tourism ads to say, hey, the shore is good, come on back, to bring tourism back. But, I mean, again, too easily understandable, because you can see his big ego on parade.
Sure.
We were talking yesterday about his speech at the Republican convention and the look on Ann Romney's face. So I don't think he even mentioned Mitt. It was another version of me, right?
Yeah.
Just like his press conference the other day. Frank Pallone told CNN federal authorities are expected to examine the state's use of $25 million in Sandy relief funds to market the tourism campaign, which starred Christie and Mary Pat. Thanks. That's kind of unfortunate. Pat Nixon, Mary Pat. Just saying.
Yeah.
All right. I am not a crook. I'm not a bully.
I'm not a bully. Hey, if you think I am...
If you have to say it. Yeah, we were saying there's a long list now of Republicans. I am not a witch. I'm not gay. I'm not a bully. I am not a crook. What are you? They don't know what they are. We know what they're not. I don't know what they are.
I am not a drunk.
Right.
I'm not one of your fans.
If you have to say it, chances are.
I'm not a drunk. I enjoy libations.
Jacqueline, I'm the Jacqueline Bisset of radio.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but he made a great point. Frank Pallone said this was money that could have been directly used for Sandy recovery. And as you know, many of my constituents still haven't gotten the money that is owed to them to rebuild their homes or raise their homes or help. And a lot of people, I'm getting a lot of actually thank you letters from people in New Jersey saying, thank you. This is the Chris Christie we know. Mm-hmm. And you look at all these pictures, and it's like there's this myth that the media has created of him, you know, being this. They still haven't recovered.
Statesman.
Right. They already know that a lot of people that, you know, they're teachers, they have teachers in their family. He's a bully.
Right.
He's always been a bully to teachers, to the unions. I mean, anyway.
Yep.
Yeah. So this is the real Chris Christie. How do you like it?
It's all falling apart.
Yep. 45 minutes after the hour, we roll along. Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire. Jim Wardback, full strength. Woot.
Woot.
As we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Uh-oh. Are you guys jealous?
What?
Fred is spreading his affection to Natan, our free speech videographer.
I'm not jealous in the least.
I need a lint roller.
Oh, he's coming back. He heard you. Oh, it's the new free speech TV show starring Max and Fred.
Mama's handsome
romantic dolls. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Marvin in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Marvin.
Hey, good morning. If Governor Christie says he had no idea this was going on, I'm going to believe him. I'll take him at face value.
Sure, sure. And why wouldn't you?
People tell me I'm a white man. I'm forced to believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's
right. That's
I
the
cannot
same.
Forgive
hey, thanks for playing really bad analogies.
Yeah, that's okay. Wow.
What? It's a Colbert reference.
I
can't forgive him for is his indecisiveness and lack of leadership. One day into this nonsense, wouldn't a leader step up and remove the cones, get to the bottom of this? I mean, even George W. showed more leadership when he launched Brownie after he was doing a heck of a job. So that's my problem with Christie. He has absolutely no leadership, and this clown wants to be president?
Yeah. Well, Marvin, what I don't get is even the media is still giving him credit for this news conference. Like, oh, he stepped up and he took responsibility. No, he didn't. He played the victim for 108 minutes, didn't he? I mean, he said he's sorry. It was the passive mistakes were made, right? He made a mistake. He didn't apologize to all the people that were inconvenienced or maybe, I don't know.
He was working out.
Because of the... Yeah.
I was working out.
Yeah, he was working out. Who can't believe that?
Mistakes were made by some idiots who are not me.
Scott in San Diego, by the way, writes, Steph, I've been listening to your show by Sirius XM.
Yes.
Yay.
Channel 127.
Thank you. And I just now found Free Speech TV via my
Roku.
You know what? We should have bought stock in Roku.
Yes.
It's what, like $50? It's a little box.
Yeah.
You can put it on, even if you don't have DirecTV or Dish or something that carries Free Speech TV and still get us.
Yep. I've been getting a lot of tweets from people saying that they think the Roku is the best thing ever.
It's the bomb.
Yes.
How great. Scott says, I recently canceled everything on cable except the local channels and HBO. Now I have something fun to watch in the morning. Yay!
Yay!
Regarding Chris Christie, I listened to his 108-minute press conference last week, and the only thing he didn't mention was Mary Pat's Republican cloth coat and their little dog Checkers. There hasn't been this big a disaster associated with a toll booth since Sonny Corleone's badly timed visit.
Look what they did to my son.
Hi, I'm Mary Pat Christie. I don't know why. I love her. She's like part Pat Nixon, part Saturday Night Live character.
Do we know that's what she sounds like?
Hi, I'm Mary Pat Christie. I brought a casserole.
I think you're giving her like a Midwestern thing. She probably talks more like this.
She's more like one of the housewives of
New Jersey. She talks like Teresa Giudice, yes, or Giudice.
She's more like Mrs. Blagojevich.
She sounds like Rosie, the lesbian sister. Hey, don't mess with my family.
She sounds like Mrs. Blagojevich for some reason. Yo, Chris, hold up that. I don't know.
Clearly, you're not watching enough television.
No. Oh my God, Chris and I. When you're sick, I
cleaned out my TiVo. I've never been down to 15%.
Dear God. I finally got to watch Scandal, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Kerry Washington.
Sure.
Our buddy who we've had on the show.
That's
awesome.
Right.
I love it.
That's right.
It's ingenious. The Netflix thing where it just starts again. I think I watched every episode that Louis C.K. has ever made. I was like, there's no. You know what? And then at some point. You know, that Netflix actually asks you, are you sure? Are you want to keep, really?
Do you want to keep
like,
watching?
Yeah, and then it just like says, are you okay?
Really?
Yeah.
Should I call a doctor?
Because they play so many of them, and then it's like it comes up like, are you? I don't know what it says, right? But doesn't it say something like, are you?
You've already seen this 27 times.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you want to continue watching? Like,
yes.
Do you want to switch
Because, you know,
hands?
You have to put your name in it. So it's like, who's watching Stephanie? So they check on you after a few episodes.
That's creepy.
Sure you don't want to get a little sunshine, something?
Should I call the police? Should I call an ambulance?
Different messages keep coming up. Do you have any friends?
Do you have a life at all?
That awkward moment when the bartender has to cut a customer off.
Yes. Yeah, Netflix cuts
Netflix
you off.
Goes, all right, that is it. You are a loser.
Go
seriously?
Go get some sunshine.
Yeah, man.
Read a book.
Jeez.
Take a shower. Oh, my God, you must smell by now.
Yeah, for the guy that sells a thing to say this, you should really listen when they say it.
Yeah.
It's my job to sell this to you. I'm telling you, you're done.
Exactly. All right. Rick, since you're our guest, you don't know for every time we do a story about stuff up a guy's butt, we do we do America's Funniest Vaginal Mishaps.
Mm.
This future wife list.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah,
of course.
Staff here.
I think I know which story
you
you're talking
this?
About.
Yes.
Well, listen, you've all had fights with women, right? Jim is married. You've dated plenty.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know what? Sometimes people like surprises. Like, for instance, when you pull a gun out of your vagina. You did not see that coming.
Surprising.
See? No. That is a twist on an argument.
Read the note. That's a bouquet joke. I'm sorry. That's the bouquet joke.
A New Mexico woman.
Yeah.
Chris, I don't know why I'm going to go out on a limb
Not
and say
Florida?
She's going to be at Albuquerque Sexy Liberal in May.
I'm sure she will.
This is one of mine. I can tell.
Are we talking Derringer or a Mauser? With a scope.
Well,
clack, clack.
Or one of those guns that Elmer Fudd carried. You know, the really long guns.
Oh, dear.
Long guns.
A New Mexico woman clad in lingerie right away. Sexy.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Got herself a gun.
Sexy on the outside, dangerous on the inside.
Do you need a concealed carry for this? I guess it's concealed.
Yeah, I guess it would be.
She's accused of pulling a gun from her vagina and pointing it at the head of her boyfriend.
Oh.
She left her Santa Fe home after having an argument about space aliens.
As you do.
With her boyfriend. Yeah. He was her boyfriend.
My boyfriend!
I think emphasis on was.
Was.
I claim Santa Fe in the name of Mars.
For his sake, I hope the emphasis is on was.
Well, I was going to say, because you can't, that's one of those, like, you can't get past that in future arguments. Yeah, right, like, right? Like the time you pulled a gun out of your...
Hoo-ha?
Right?
Hoo-ha.
That's the other show next to hee-haw.
How many times are you going to bring up the gun in my... okay.
How come on hee-haw ain't nobody wearing no clothes? They're all naked.
No, this is hoo-ha.
After she returned, she went to the bedroom and emerged wearing lingerie and a silver firearm in her vagina.
Jeez.
Wow.
She's accused of using the gun as a sex toy.
Silver!
That's some specialized fetish.
Wait for it.
With safety on.
While saying, who's crazy, you or me?
Tough one.
About that. You? I'm going to say you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with you.
Better than finding out once they're having sex and then it goes off, you know.
That is true.
I'd prefer the gun was out.
She then pulled the gun from her. and pointed it at him. He was able to get the gun away from her and put it in a toilet before hiding it.
Does
in
a toilet neutralize a gun?
I don't
know. It's the only sanitary thing to do.
Of course.
I think.
After it had been up there,
he assumed it was a tampon or something.
All right. Hey, we still have Charlie Pierce coming up.
That's right.
And Dean Obadala, comedian extraordinaire, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, it is. We are back full strength. Jim Ward, back from the, well, sort of, a little phlegmy. See, did I tell you when we started doing the show from my home studio,
yeah.
I was going to turn into a June Cleaver? Would I just say, Jim, would you like some tea? See, it's going to graduate to an omelet. I'm going to have an omelet bar in here. I turn into Mad Men when Jim is
I would love an here. Omelet bar.
Screw you.
That, turn your... Turn
Pardon
your...
me? Yes, turn your microphone on. Hello, Jim.
There we go. Well, my headphones aren't working, so I can't tell what I'm on.
What? They're not working?
No.
Okay. Maybe they're not plugged in. Or maybe Fred ate the jack. Oh, well. Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire, jumping into the fray. Hello, Rick Overton.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can find all the lovely myriad of ways that you can see us and hear us.
That's right.
On the big show. A love letter from Scott in Mill Valley, California. Steph, so nice to have you back on the TV. Why, thank you. And thank you, Free Speech TV. I'm starting my own Stephanie Miller on TV collection since I have both your current TV and Free Speech TV episodes recorded and saved on my DVR.
Oh, wow.
OMG.
Like the entire year's worth of from current?
Remember, I don't know if he's like, you know, remember the guy that worked for us for
of
a while?
Of course I remember.
How long have we been on the radio, Jim? I don't know. 1,000 years together. And we were saying, gee, remember that one bit we did? And he said, oh, I have it. And we said, what do you mean? And he said, I have every show you've ever done.
Everything. And you employed him.
So we had every show.
Yeah, yeah.
Every show.
What was your vetting process for hiring people?
Are you a murderer?
Yeah. Didn't he show up drunk a lot?
Yes. Yes.
Which here, you know, wouldn't necessarily disqualify you as I am generally.
Drunk.
Still.
Yeah.
So did you quiz him like, so which was your favorite?
Yeah. No, we didn't. I've been in radio since 19-aught.
Four.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I think he was referring
radio.
To the show. It's the show that I was back three stations ago.
That's right.
In 1994.
Yes.
We were like, you have every...
Every...
Okay. As you work out your schedule for Sexy Liberal 2014, time to a return trip to San Francisco. You've been to Madison like 40 times. Oh, come on now, Scott. Don't exaggerate. Mama has not been to Madison 40 times. But I will be there in March.
That's right.
Okay.
Have you been there 4 times?
No.
No?
No, I don't think so. I think, this may be the 4th.
Yeah, I think
in
it
March.
Is the 4th.
Right, okay. Well, not 40.
This could be the 4th time.
Right.
Maybe the 4th time. I don't know.
Thank you, Scott. 4. 40. Don't be jealous. Kids, don't fight. Mama loves all of you.
He's totes jelly.
That's in dog gigs.
Right. By the way, Chris will be in Phoenix, the February show in Phoenix.
I will be.
Selling out very quickly.
Yes.
Yes. Then what's next? Who knows? I have little cartoon birds still.
Do you have your
still.
List?
I have cartoon flu birds still.
Do you still have your list, or do I need to print out another one for you?
No, I have it.
All right.
Well, Madison sold out already anyway. But anyway.
And then Albuquerque.
Albuquerque's in May.
That's right.
And we have new dates to announce soon. Please bring Chris with you to San Francisco. We know he doesn't add much to the show, but he's nice to look at. He can just stand around and flex. Pretty much your job here.
That's what I do.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
big hugs to Max and Fred, who are handsome and romantic and not at all intimidating. Chris.
I think there was sarcasm when he was writing that. They're not at all intimidating.
Oh, they are not. You can see how friendly they are. hey, speaking of intimidating, you know what we have here in the mountains here? In fact, right near my house.
Right here.
We got a mountain lion.
Yeah.
P-22.
Oh.
Have you seen?
Tag. Is that his name?
Yeah, we have a mountain lion in Griffith Park.
His name is P-22?
Yeah, they tagged him. Oh, there's a picture of him in front of the Hollywood sign at night. He's like, huh? There's a hidden camera up there. Yeah, but there was a. But this is actually kind of terrifying. This is why I'm bringing the dogs in at night and all that. Because he, a mountain lion ate a black lab, like an 85, not ate him, but dragged him over a four-pound wall or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah. But anyway, mountain lions in Santa Monica Mountains need more room, experts say. It was just a story.
Mm-hmm.
See, now I have to worry about this.
We're encroaching on their territory.
If the flu or pneumonia doesn't kill me, a mountain lion might eat me.
You need to close the doggy door.
Yes, I do. I do.
Oh, good.
One healthy male. Yes,
we could have a mountain lion peeking around the corner.
Oh, and as you guys know, I have video surveillance here.
Yes.
Camera. So at least maybe I'll get a picture before it eats me. So that you'll be
there's that.
We'll be able to show the picture like,
hi.
Hi.
I'm here.
Knocking on the dog door.
I'm hungry.
Yeah. Be like Jack Nicholson. Wendy, I'm home.
Wendy.
Mountain lion does not talk.
It's like land shark.
If it did, it would sound like Jack Nicholson.
One healthy, this is from the LA Times, one healthy male mountain lion has made Griffith Park his domain and dinette for nearly 2 years. By the way, on the flip side, a cougar that may have brought new genetic material managed to cross the 101, but then was killed by a car. This one, the one that's here, crossed the 101 and the 5. Would you cross the 5 to find a mate? Because I wouldn't. Who the hell? Really? I mean, that's too much. The 101, but who's not going past the 5 to get a mate?
You know, I would
that's
do
some
it,
commitment.
I would do it at 4:30 in the afternoon because nothing's moving. You can just walk over the hood.
That's right.
You know?
He just didn't time it correctly.
Yeah.
So this week, experts say there were three mountain lion kittens born in the Santa Monica Mountains, but they appear to be the result of inbreeding.
Oh.
So they're like, Tea Party.
Day.
They're Tea Party mountain lions.
Day, which way do you go? Day.
Meow.
Herp. Herp, yeah, derp.
It's, it's a cross between a mountain lion and Louis Gohmert. They're like the royal family. Because they can't get past the freeways.
One of them comes out looking like Prince Charles.
Ooh.
With British teeth.
I'm my own father.
Now, we were playing at the Golden Globes. What was our game? We were playing drunk, weird, or foreign.
Right.
And Jacqueline Bisset.
It was all three. All of the above.
But there was one shot, and you always think it's a joke, but you could tell it's a table of British people. And there was a woman like,
it's like the cast of Downton Abbey or something.
It's exactly like, stop it. That's like, those are like joke British teeth.
You had a gag popping kind.
I
did a musical where I played Camilla's husband, and I always pronounced her name Camilla. They up the cast, tweet everybody, so everyone in the cast, whenever they said Camilla, was Camilla. I created a meme.
Yes.
Jim Ward plays a better queen than Marcus Bachman, but you know.
Hey!
Ladies.
No, he wasn't. No.
Just kidding. By the way, we haven't done dueling Sean Connery's yet, but we could do dueling Woody Allen since they did the tribute to him at the Golden Globes.
Uh-huh.
Did you see Woody Allen, Mia Farrow and Ronan? Is it Ronan?
Ronan Farrow.
Yeah.
Yep.
They were a little active on the Twitter. You can imagine during the Woody Allen.
They don't appreciate Woody Allen.
No.
No.
No, as it turns out. Mia Farrow tweeted, time to grab some ice cream and switch over to Girls on HBO. Ronan said, miss the Woody Allen tribute. Did they put in the part where a woman publicly confirmed he molested her at age 7 before or after Annie Hall?
Ooh. Ouch.
Ooh. His message was in reference to allegations of sexual abuse made by his sister, Woody and Mia's daughter, Dylan. Both he and his mother retweeted messages from others pointing to a Vanity Fair article that featured those allegations. In 94, in New York State Appeals Court, ruling on custody of Farrow and Allen's children determined the sexual abuse claims were inconclusive. But
yeah.
I knew a lot. There were a lot of women I knew that were a little touchy about the Woody Allen tribute and Diane Keaton was going on and on and on. And everyone has a strong opinion about him, I guess.
Yes, they do.
Although I thought Blue Jasmine was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I was glad that Cate Blanchett won.
Mm-hmm. Some people can separate the man from the art, I suppose.
Right.
Polanski.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Of course, you have to separate him from America, too.
Well, there's that.
Yes.
Everything has to be done from, Skype. The all Skyped movie.
Well, all yes. I know is Diane Keaton is possibly tall and thin.
Is she?
Yeah, she looked like she was on stilts, didn't she?
She did.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm a big fan.
I think she might have been a little drunk.
You think so? I think everyone was.
Well, they serve cocktails. I mean, before you even get in your limo, they give you a bottle of champagne.
Yeah,
What can I go on, Robs? When you're through with your bucket, I may need it.
It's my kind of award show. Yeah. It's like a radio convention. Everyone's drunk already.
It gets ugly in the parking lot for Golden Globe Smackdown.
I don't mean to be facetious or didactic, but your daughter's kind of hot.
Lois in Louisiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Lois.
Hey, Stephanie Miller and the Sexy Liver crew out there.
Well, hello.
And I've been trying to get you for, like, forever, ever since you left the other channel.
Oh, Current
and
TV.
And I called and had some words with my DirecTV station.
You had words? You had words with them. Okay.
I sure did. They took you off there.
Oh, well, because, Current was sold.
Yeah, Current, it's not DirecTV's fault.
Anyway, I got you back now.
Thank you. All right. Good.
It's even better because I can leave my house and record you right now.
Oh, my God.
Because I had got so upset, I was thinking about get on a plane and go into Colorado and get me a little bag and come back home. That's how I And I know how you feel because I had that same flu and I felt like doo-doo.
Oh, yes. Right? 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag. All right, go ahead, Lois. You had some thoughts on Chris Christie?
Yeah, only thoughts I had, I can't wait till you fry because there's going to be a lot of grease on the floor.
I love you, Lois. All right. I want a gay Mary Lois. All right. We've been talking about Bridgegate or whatever your, gate of choice is. Vincent, what's his name? Vincent Prieto, the New Jersey Speaker-elect of the Assembly, yesterday talking about Bridgegate, I guess we're calling it. The New Jersey.
We are going to investigate, anything. If there's abuse of power, we want to know about it.
Another New Jersey assemblyman. I'm just going to stop trying to pronounce any of their names.
John Wisniewski.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's very premature to be talking about calling the governor and subpoenaing the governor.
Maybe not.
I don't know about that.
Yes, just last hour we were talking about a couple of new allegations. Jersey City mayor may also have been victim of Christie staff's political revenge. Hoboken mayor alleges possible Christie retribution with Hurricane Sandy relief funds. In addition, we were talking about there are allegations of him misusing Hurricane Sandy relief funds to feature ads with his giant head in them.
That's right.
So there's a lot of people have thoughts on what degree of toast he is or not. And we will talk to Charlie Pierce has some thoughts on that.
He does?
And on the Sunday shows and how they treated it, which I love. as we continue, it's 18 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, what a lovely program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
What?
What? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I don't have my headphones on because Tony's sitting on the floor testing my headphones because we're trying to find out if the show sounds crappy or it's my headphones or I'm just going deaf.
You're going deaf.
You're going deaf.
What?
You're going deaf.
See what I did there.
Oh, he just said, it's your headphones?
It's you? What do you mean it's you? Okay. Oh, the mic is set weird. See, I'm not going deaf, and I'm not dumb either. Stupid.
Stupid.
Stupid. You're stupid, stupid. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12. Comedian Rick Overton joins us live in studio for the first time in the new year. Happy New Year, Rick Overton.
Happy Solar Cycle, Angel.
What are you working on in 2014? Where we might see your fabulous acting face, et cetera, and comedy face.
Going to be up at Sketchfest in San Francisco doing a set list. That'll be on February 7, and before that I'll be doing Totally Looped on the 25th.
Awesome.
Up in San Francisco.
Awesome.
So check it out.
Cool.
Awesome.
And can we go to rickoverton.net to find out everything Rick Overtonian?
Yes, and check out my podcast called...
That was elegant.
Overview.
Overview. Please. Yeah. Please.
Cool.
Please do. Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. By the way, oh, I love this story. 6% of Americans have a more favorable opinion of Chris Christie in the bridge, in the aftermath of the bridge controversy.
6%.
Those are the people. Oh, well, those are people that are thinking he's taking on the bully media.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Oh, he's not the bully. It's
right.
The media.
The media's
been,
bullying
been
him
by
him
reporting.
Up.
Yes. On
right.
They're
right.
The bullies.
I see. 16% have a less favorable opinion. I'm just wondering where they're concentrated. Where they're, I don't know, mobbed up. I mean, like grouped up. I mean, where the people are grouped up. That have a more favorable opinion.
Yeah, they're grouped up around a TV set with a certain network on it.
Yeah, exactly. Did you see, Chris? Are they covering it at all, Bridgegate?
What?
Fox News.
Fox News.
Yeah.
I watched Brett Baer yesterday, and he didn't get to it until about 25 minutes after the hour.
I see. Yeah, there's a lot of news. A lot of other news to cover, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Oh, I did see. Did you see Britt Hume, Jim? Said that it could be that Chris...
Uh-huh.
Excuse me?
Brett
Hume? Britt Hume.
Damn right, I love Britt Hume.
Yeah. He said that it could be that Chris Christie is just too manly for America. That could
right.
be.
Right.
He said in this era of feminization...
Yep.
Excuse me. He said that it could be Chris Christie is too... I love to use the words muscular. Could be too just manly and too muscular and masculine for America.
He's got some nice boobies.
He does.
Shake them, baby. Shake the moobs. Mooba dooba doo.
Mooby dooby doo.
You can mooby whip somebody.
You don't know what bullying is till I go booba dooba doo on you.
The Stephanie Miller Show has no information about whether Chris Christie has actually moob-whipped anybody. We're just saying. There's a possibility.
He's moobed up.
Okay. The latest, in case you've just...
I hear he might be affiliated with the moob.
He's moobed up.
Oh, God.
New documents released Monday put more weight...
As
come
far.
On, now, really? Everybody, now oh, everybody's just on. Piling on. Everyone's just putting their foot on the scale now. Come on.
Oh.
That Chris Christie took political revenge on mayors who chose not to endorse him in his 2013 re-election bid. New Jersey City's mayor, Democratic Mayor Stephen Fulop, allegedly had been courted by Christie's office for an endorsement, but when he said he would not be willing to do so last July, the governor's office canceled a series of planned meetings in the state's second largest city. Rachel Maddow, I was saying last hour, just documented this like piece by piece. I mean, it's so obvious. I mean, literally they were the polite chipmunks when he was elected. And, you know, we're going to order lunch, and every official in the state was coming, and then they all called to cancel the second he said he was going to endorse them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this. Can I have some polite chipmunks music? Congratulations, Mayor-elect. These are the first notes he got.
Mm-hmm. This is round one.
What an exciting time for you and the city. We're looking forward to working closely with you and your administration. Bridget Ann Kelly, she seems so pleasant. She was the one that was fired after,
right.
You know, yeah.
Bridget, yeah.
By the way, someone made a really good point. You know there was discussion about this when all you do is send an email, time for traffic problems in Fort Lee, and someone knows exactly what to do?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How would you know that means close these lanes of the GWB unless this has been discussed?
Right.
Nah, if you're a detective and you couldn't put that together, you got to hand your badge in.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not set.
I think Columbo would have one more question.
I have one more thing. are you an idiot?
Yeah.
Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Mayor Fulop believed the cancellations were connected to his decision not to endorse Governor Christie, said the mayor.
You think?
So? It seems a little,
looks
you
bad.
Know, connected. A little malfeasance down near Trenton. And then the Hoboken mayor alleges possible Christie retribution with Hurricane Sandy relief. Let's see, Hoboken Mayor Dawn Zimmer wondered in hindsight if her hard-hit city was denied federal relief funds as revenge for her refusal to endorse Chris Christie. She asked for the state for $100 million in grants. She got $300,000, a fraction of 1%. With 2020 hindsight, in the context we're in right now, you can always look back and say, okay, was it retribution? I think probably all mayors are reflecting right now and thinking about it. But I hope that's not the case. Oh, me too. Me too. I'd hate to think that of Chris Christie. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com on The Stephanie Miller Show.
In a world where mankind is ruled by
Stephanie Miller,
a giant intelligent beaver, what food is no longer consumed?
What? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. What?
And if it leaves Chicago going 65 miles an hour.
By the way, Jim, we'll talk later. The sushi out here is fine. Did you see all the Fukushima rumors?
I saw the article.
People just fear-monger.
They're scientists.
Fear-monger about
they're
flu scientists. Shots and Fukushima.
They're wearing white lab coats. They're scientists.
Getting
gee, are
you
they scientists?
Gives you radiation from
are
Fukushima.
They scientists for the nuclear
no.
The NRC?
No.
Stephanie,
no.
you have a glow about you, baby.
How do you know?
Well, first of all, I'm not crazy that my headphones sounded like crap. See, Tony confirmed it. And now I can't hear anything. Now I feel like a Who in Whoville. Hello. All right.
But you're listening to the same. She's listening at the same volume that we are all listening to.
Right.
And
we're here fine.
Yeah.
What?
Okay. You've got rock and roll hearing, darling.
I do. It was my time as a sound guy for the Who.
We wear headphones for a living. It's bound to happen to all of us.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like working at the airport. The guy with the cans. Yeah. You know,
I did that, too. I remember at that little airport.
At Van Nuys Airport.
Right,
she
right.
She parked planes.
I did that for a while when I was right out of college. I did this thing. I had no training whatsoever.
No idea.
Yeah, it was like an airplane. I was like, what? All right. Hey, guess what?
What?
It's that time of the week, everybody. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America. Pierce. Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Ha! Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Well, I was wondering if you're ever going to get to me. I was standing over there in the corner of the room just waving.
I'm sorry, Charlie. It was a build-up to your grand entrance.
And she couldn't hear you.
Right.
No.
What's wrong with her ears?
I don't know, 25 years in radio? Yeah, exactly. Good morning, Charlie Pierce. Happy Bridge Gate.
Good morning. Happy New Year. This is our first visit since you moved into the new digs, right?
That's right. We didn't have him on Tuesday because I'm not good with the interviews.
No, you're not. What are you good with?
I'm not good at anything, which is why I always freeze up when you say I'm not coming in.
You're Sidney Brady.
Yes.
Charlie Pierce, happy Bridge Gate.
Well, yeah, this is an interesting story. Now we have like three or four possible reasons why it happened, which is really cool.
Right. Yeah. If you've been watching Steve Kornacki and Rachel Maddow, I mean, it's so interesting, Charlie. That
I think those two are going to get into a fist fight sooner or later about what the actual motive was. I'm looking forward to that. But Kornacki Maddow won.
I mean, it's
personal.
It's interesting.
It's
that
a housing development.
It's the housing development. It's the lack of an endorsement. I mean, it clearly seems retribution. Oriented, but I mean, it will be interesting to find out if anyone talks, right? If we find out, like Rachel said, we won't know what happened until we know why, right?
Yeah, but I think it's interesting that the global theory that Chris Christie just revenges himself on everyone at the same time. I think that's a very effective critique of his governorship.
Yeah. Well, I was
he's spending all his time getting even for something.
Well, and that's the thing, Charlie. I was saying that the problem for him is this is a pretty easily understandable scandal, and it fits in with the narrative of him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wary of people saying, you know, I'm wary of arguments based on how it fits into the narrative because I watched it happen with the Clintons, so I try to stay away from that sort of thing.
Right.
But, I mean, the hell of it all is, if it is in fact, you know, some sort of form of political retribution. This is the kind of thing that would have been winked at 50 years ago. I mean, Richard Daley did this kind of thing all the time. James Michael Curley in Boston did this kind of thing all the time.
Yeah.
But now, you know, now unfortunately, you had a lot of people, I dare say a few Democrats, who were invested in this guy as the kind of bipartisan conciliator who could, you know, bridge the the, you know, the polarization in the country, and it turns out he's just a vengeful thug.
Well, I mean, Charlie,
stupid, and he's so stupid. He's being vengeful to people. They're not all benign people. Lots of dangerous politicians and ruthless politicians, and you can't make that many ruthless enemies.
Right.
That's an interesting point. Actually, I don't know who that gentleman is, but
that's Rick Overton.
Point.
You don't get that kind of insight just anywhere.
I'm in meetings in Bristol, Connecticut, so I don't know. I haven't been listening to the show, so I don't know what's going on.
Hey, well, I'm just sorry for chiming in, but I wanted to add that. I'm from New Jersey, and I know that's
No, I think you're right. He's also been taking his vengeance out in a state where vengeance is like, you know, the national sport.
Exactly. He's stupid. They ganged up on him. You know?
Politics, burying witnesses, and vengeance. That's
right.
Isn't
the state song that rips the bones from your back? You got to get out while you're young. Something like that.
Yes.
Charlie, that's why I love your. I always love your roundup of the Sunday shows, but. You know, talking to Eric Bowler a little bit about this, and that's why I love your stuff. It's more interesting watching the media who have puffed this guy up try to deal with this, right? You say it was epic this weekend, the defense of Chris Christie by the people who have an ongoing stake in burnishing the man, the myth, and the legend, right?
Yeah, well, the other thing is that what seems to have gotten lost in this whole thing is that the first time the guy appeared on the national stage, he fell on his face. When he gave a keynote address at the Republican National Convention and didn't mention Mitt Romney.
Right.
Remember, then everybody got on TV and said, oh, man, he's just blown himself up as a national candidate. How could he possibly do that?
Yep.
And then they rebuilt it. I mean, they went out of their way to rebuild him. They had the Sandy stuff.
And yeah, so, and I haven't.
Because he accepted the president's help with, like, you know, half his state blown out to sea. We're supposed to see him as this kind of bipartisan conciliator.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because he was willing to take federal money.
And no, I was saying this. I've been talking about this for the last couple of days, Charlie, about you haven't seen that look on Ann Romney's face since she had to talk to Robin Roberts, right? I don't know if she's making that face because she was black or she's gay, but I'm not sure. But that was, yeah, but he barely mentioned Mitt Romney. And this is what we were saying, you know, well, who called this a mea culpa, emphasis on me, right? It's 108 minutes if I'm a victim for me.
I sat there and listened to it, and he was basically apologizing for the damage done to the people of New Jersey because people betrayed him.
Right.
You know, not the damage done to people who couldn't get to work or couldn't get to school or couldn't get to the hospital.
Hmm.
But, you know, he was terribly sorry that pain had been inflicted on him.
Well, and, you know, once again, you know, as every Jersey story, we don't know if we can prove that this 91-year-old woman died because of the delay in the ambulance. But let me just tell you, as someone that was in an ambulance this past Monday with the flu and pneumonia, 7 minutes is a long time, and I'm not 91.
You were in an ambulance on Monday?
I was in an ambulance Monday. Yes.
After the show on Monday.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, my God, Eric Bowler just wrecked you, didn't he?
Yes. Eric Bowler is a rough interview.
Bowler's just a killer, right?
By the way, you had the same reaction. I was watching Meet the Press, and this Kim Strassel, I had the same reaction to her. First of all, who is this on Meet the Press?
Well, she's a columnist for the Wall Street Journal, but
right.
The president caused the shutdown?
Right. No, this is what she said. I got to read exactly what she said because I was still had the flu vapors and I was like, what? What now? What did she just say? This is the media's idea of fair and balanced. So she says on Meet the Press, okay, this is not Watergate. This is not even the IRS targeting of last year. In fact, it's not even, if you think about this as a raw display of political power, it's not even the White House using the sequester and the shutdown to inconvenience millions of Americans as they did too to make a political point. And as you say, now it is at this point that a kind, intelligent host would point out gently to Strassel that she has left the surly bonds of Mother Earth and drifted into the far reaches of the wingnut of Sapir. The president was responsible for the shutdown?
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
But
you're right. The thing is not she said that, that David Gregory just lets it go.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
he
the thing.
To the mayor of Baltimore. I mean, the IRS freaking scandal, which wasn't a scandal, was bad enough.
Right.
But the president caused the shutdown? I mean, you can't just say this stuff.
Well, I mean, this is...
You can if David Gregory's moderating.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you saw Ryan Priebus did it, as you say, Giuliani does it. It is laughable that they're trying to use Benghazi and the IRS as some sort of analogies instead of answering what Chris Christie did, right?
Well, not just that, but the idea that you know he got up there and spent 111 minutes taking responsibility. He did no such thing.
Right. It's what I've been saying all morning.
He got up there for 111 minutes and complained that he'd been betrayed by nefarious underlings.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Underlings, by the way, not underthings.
That's
so
right.
So you were saying, yeah, Martha Raddatz was filling in on ABC. And so Giuliani says, you know, Martha, that's always kind of a simplistic after something like this happens. You know, how could it happen? How could you not have known? How did President Obama not know about the IRS targeting right-wing groups? You know, massive numbers of right-wing groups. Raddatz says, but this is traffic. This affects everyone. This seems very different. As you say, yes, it does, Martha. It seems very different because, you know, the bridge closing actually happened.
Yeah.
The IRS targeting of massive numbers of right-wing groups did not. This seems an important point.
Yeah. You would think.
Right. I mean, that's what it kills me, Charlie, is that are we ignoring at this point that the IRS and Benghazi quote-unquote scandals have been completely debunked at this point?
They've fallen apart. The IRS one has fallen apart completely. Yeah. You know, yeah. Obviously there were actual mistakes made at Benghazi where people died. But, you know, it's certainly not what it's been inflated into. But there wasn't anything to the IRS. The IRS was a bunch of, you know, dumbass bureaucrats who got overwhelmed by a new law.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And a bunch of like political people looking for a loophole.
Uh-huh.
My favorite,
which most of them got.
I have to say, my favorite line in your article this week, you said of Rudy Giuliani, Monsieur 9/11 pressed on. but he said things go wrong in an administration, and frankly, he was in campaign mode at the time. During campaign mode, you miss a lot of things. You're not paying as much attention. We see that with Benghazi.
Oh, also Hitler.
Yeah.
And you say, sorry, but thanks for playing. Apparently, Rudy's subscription to the New York Times has lapsed, where... You know, as we said, they pretty much backed up the administration's.
In all important elements. Yeah.
Right. Right. And I love this. You say he says of Christie, he says he didn't know. I think it's pretty darn credible. He wouldn't make this blanket denial unless it's not true. And you said, I'm sure as Rudy, when he was U.S. attorney, that was the principle under which he prosecuted people. But if the defendant issued a blanket denial, then it must be true and everyone can go to lunch.
What do you get when you ask?
He wouldn't say it if it wasn't true.
What do you get when you ask a liar if he's a liar?
What?
What are the odds he's going to lie? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to keep lying. That's what he does.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he did it again. As you say, Charlie, Giuliani says, I mean, people get the wrong message. It happens all the time. It happens again. I go back to the IRS scandal. The people in the IRS thought President Obama wanted them to do this. President Obama didn't want them to do this, but they got that sense. It was totally wrong, blah, blah, blah. It was totally wrong for these people to have interpreted Chris Christie that way. Again, one of these things actually happened and one didn't.
Exactly. I mean, nobody targeted anybody. That's the fiction. There was some badly handled bureaucratic dumbassery, basically.
Right.
and then, unfortunately, you know, Daryl Issa read about it.
Yeah, and I loved it. My favorite line of Christie's thing when he said, this isn't the climate that I created in this building. Yes, it is. It's exactly the climate you created in this building.
He brings his
These
own weather.
These are the droids that you're looking for.
And then, of course, we go over to CBS, as you say, Senator Marco Rubio, one-time rising Republican star and noted stepper upon rakes.
I love your writing, Charlie.
I love your writing. Rubio's running around now pretending to be a conservative, Charlie, right? Who cares about poor people? This is the latest scam from the boys down in the rebranding lab. That's what it smells like, right?
Yeah.
Like he and Paul Ryan have been down in the rebranding lab.
Which is on the island of Dr. Moreau.
We care about the poor.
You know, their idea of helping the poor is to cut unemployment, and cut food stamps and cut virtually every, you know, piece of the safety net that's left.
Yeah, yeah.
Because freedom.
Because freedom. Yeah. And also Benghazi.
And because of the IRS.
All right. Charlie Pierce, great stuff as always.
Talk to you next week.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. There he goes, Charlie Pierce. 47 minutes after the hour, we roll along. Rick Overton live in studio on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
we're back on.
Did I tell you? Did I tell you what this was going to be like?
You were so
when we
afraid.
We started in the home studio. I was upstairs. I was late because I was making Jim tea.
You were so afraid of becoming Donna Reed for all of us, and now look at you.
I'm telling you, we are like a day from the omelet bar.
I want an omelet bar.
I just put my honey in your tea, Jim.
Oh.
What? What? I gave you a, I got you a Dr. Phil mug because I thought it would be funny. Noted Dr.
Phil. Dr. Phil. Dr. BSology. Oh.
I got him a Dr. Phil mug.
Yes, you did.
I also took time
for comedic purposes
to choose a funny mug.
Yes.
I tried to coach somebody to do a Dr. Phil impression because it looked a little like him, but.
It's the high, squeaky sort of New York kind of voice. Yeah, I'm Dr. Phil. What?
Hi.
By the way, speaking of folksy Texans, I didn't stay up late enough to see Matthew McConaughey's acceptance speech at the Golden Globes, but it irritated the bejesus out of friends of mine. Because they said, I don't need life lessons from you. Because, you know, actors always feel like they need to impart some sort of
right.
life lessons.
Yep.
You should leave that to comedians.
Right. Exactly. Exactly, Rick Overton. Thank you very much. That was my point.
Absolutely.
I don't get what people were saying that they like his all right, all right, all right. What does that mean?
Why? Oh, that's kind of his thing.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right.
Oh, that's right. Kind of Texas stoner way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I missed that.
I think it goes all the way back to Dazed and Confused when he was in that movie.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Okay. All right. He's lost a lot. I loved Tina Fey and Amy Poehler's joke about he lost 45 pounds for Dallas Buyers Club, or as actresses call it, being in a movie.
Yeah.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Corky in Rochester, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Corky. Hi, Corky. Hello. Oh, did I do it wrong? I probably did. Hello, Corky. Go ahead.
Nope. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Or not. Or and scene.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I hope the phones are working.
Yeah, now my headphones are working and the phones aren't. All right. Well, we're tweaking, as they say.
Hey.
How's your tea, Jim?
I haven't tried it yet. It's too hot.
You know, because Mad Men is coming back, so I'm getting my Mad Men.
Ah. Very nice.
I'm gonna be wearing an apron by the end of the week.
Please note that I haven't asked you for a damn thing.
I wouldn't get you.
No, you
I'm not
tried to
you anything.
You tried to force some coffee into my cup yesterday.
Only Jim is man enough to bring out the woman in me.
You were like, can I get you some coffee? It'll warm it up, really? It will. I'm like, no, I'm fine, thanks.
Warm it up.
Ovaltine?
No, nothing. Thank you.
And how did you see how I made the entrance to the studio? How do you get in? You have to put the candle back.
Oh, yes.
What? The candle?
Listen to me very carefully. Put the candle back.
Weird. Okay, did you see this? Chris Christie is going to go campaign for Rick Scott in Florida. It's going to be another, like, he's getting out of town to go to Florida.
Isn't
when things are...
yeah.
Remember when he left when the big storm was about to hit? He went to Disney World for 5 days?
Yeah. Isn't Rick Scott by now, like, a Democrat? He's been, like, tacking to the left all over the place.
He's doing crazy things, like, I don't know, taking Medicaid expansion funds or...
Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
That's interesting.
By the way, in case you haven't noticed, Obamacare is working while we've been...
Mm-hmm. It's a disaster!
It was a disaster before it even got started. That's how you know it's a disaster. We're saying it's a disaster months in advance.
Yes.
Yeah, I think because everyone's been focused on other stuff, Bridgegate and, I don't know, the Robert Gates book and blah, blah, blah. Washington Post just wrote a piece. Despite what the critics say, Obamacare's working. What now? Nobody's covering that. Despite the treasured right-wing talking points, it's increasingly clear that Obamacare is a success, the Washington Post writes. Moreover, in places where Obamacare is not succeeding, it's also clear the right wing is to blame.
Uh-huh.
Which is to say, ACA is working as planned, perhaps a little better in the states where governors and legislators choose to implement it, such as California and New York. It's barely working in those states where governors and legislators have refused to implement it, such as Texas. Consider the implications. A larger share of Californians will be able to afford regular medical checkups than Texans. A smaller share of Californians is likely to be bankrupted by the expense of major medical treatment. Same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Right. In the coming years, a smaller share of California hospitals will face financial risk for indigent care than hospitals in Texas, where fewer of the sick and poor will be covered by Medicaid. This is exactly what I said was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
people in the states that have nice things are going to be peeking over, Chris, and going,
you can't do that voice anymore.
Yes, I can.
Because you're better.
No, I'm not. I'm Clemmy and hey, California wig.
Got to bring in Michael McDonald to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, here is some other good news, by the way. Some good news out of Texas. Did you see this? Wendy Davis's foe, Greg Abbott, who's going to run against her for governor, mm-hmm. has been ordered to pay her legal fees. Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Yeah, the state of Texas ordered Thursday to reimburse Wendy Davis for over $200,000 in legal fees that she spent fending off a Republican attempt to carve up her legislative district. The kicker is the one responsible for reimbursing her is Attorney General Greg Abbott, who she's going to be running against.
Ha-ha!
Ha-ha! Take that, Nina. Okay, 58 minutes after. Hey, what are you over there? Okay. Right back with Dean Abadala and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mics up to catch Fred's burp?
No, they weren't.
The cutest thing. Fred is sitting next to Mom and he just went, it is the Stephanie Miller Show now on Free Speech TV. This is Fred.
You keep hitting me.
I have not used my box in a week. I've been sick. Hi, Fred. All right, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire, live
Hi, Rick.
In the studio with us. Jim Ward back. And I made him tea. And he said it was just the right amount of sweetness, right,
yes,
Jim?
That's exactly right.
Thanks.
The right temperature, the right amount of sweetness.
Oh, the
it's Mad Men. I'm going to have like an A-line dress on tomorrow.
By the way, the chat room is taking issue with the fact that you left your tea bag in there. You're real real tea drinkers don't do that.
Oh, Jim.
Because then it gets overpowering.
If I had access to a garbage can.
There's a garbage can right in front of you.
No,
I did that too.
It's way back there.
No, there's one right in front of you.
What?
Okay.
No. No, there isn't.
All right.
No.
It's there.
No.
All right.
What?
it's buried deep under there.
I'm the housewife of the Stephanie Miller Show now.
Well, it's your house.
Oh, I also supplied all the lint rollers because...
I don't have one over here.
Yeah, you don't get one.
Oh.
All right. Hey, time for Tech Talk, everybody, because everyone's trying to figure out how you can listen and watch us. Right? Listen to us and watch us, Rick Overton.
Right.
This is... You know what? This is getting a little techie even for me.
Yeah.
Alexander says, staff, I discovered a new way to watch Free Speech TV on the TV for very cheap, about $35. I use the Google Chromecast.
Yep.
Ooh,
that's
ooh,
something
fancy.
You can use.
Chrome.
$35. It allows me to wirelessly stream a tab from Google Chrome on my laptop, Mac or PC. Top. Thus allowing me to watch Free Speech TV on my TV.
That's
or
correct.
You were saying you could do it on your Apple
you
TV.
You can do it on your Apple TV if you have the right computer, like a later model computer, you can
right.
just put your entire screen, throw it
right.
on your TV through your Apple TV.
Right. Or, Jim, you can get one of those boxes. What are they called?
Roku.
Roku is the easiest way to see it on your TV.
I believe that's the way Kim Jong-un is watching us, and also Dennis Rodman.
Yes. And George Takei. I'm watching on my Roku.
Oh, I love this. Lisa says, Steph, a few weeks ago on Facebook, I sent you information about knitting with dog hair. One of the items I suggested making was a large shawl. Please post pictures if you have something made. Well, Max and Fred make us one every day. We don't need to have a shawl. We are all covered in dog hair.
Yes.
The moment the show is over, aren't we, Chris?
Yes, we are.
Can you enjoy
it? It's my favorite part of the day.
All right. Rick Overton from Jersey.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Maybe a little
Hey!
I love they're booking people specifically because they're from Jersey on TV.
Yes.
Like it's some exotic thing now.
That's right. Jersey Shore.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so what does Snooki have to say about all this?
I don't know. But you know who would know?
Who?
Jersey native Dean Obadala.
Excuse me. Here he comes, Mrs. Dean Obadala. Yes, it's Dean Obadala. Dean Obadala.
Good morning, Jersey native Dino Badala.
Hi, how are you? Does Rick have a song? Does Rick have his own theme song?
He doesn't.
I know.
Over
hey, what about that?
Work on that, buddy.
Yeah, for crying out loud. Thanks for pointing that out. Thanks for being in my corner,
Jersey,
Dino.
That's how we have to talk to each other. You know.
Overton is tough to find a song. Obadala just, you know. Just lend
itself. Well, Obadiah, like Obadiah, Obadiah. It's true, but we can get something for
Rick.
Oh,
I know.
I'm sure.
Over, Under, Sideways, Down by the Yardbirds. Over to
there you go. Rocky Mountain Mike. Let's get on it.
Rocky Mountain Mike will get it. Yeah.
There's Overton Mountain. That's a real song.
You know, leave it to you, though, to give us some perspective on other New Jersey embarrassments in your latest piece.
That's what I do. I try to put things in perspective. I'm a perspectivator. I try to get people to see what's going on, and that's why I wrote the article for the Daily Beast. And it wasn't defending Chris Christie. It's just about, like, hey, people are going crazy over the Chris Christie thing. But I'm from Jersey, and, you know, the mayor of Fort Lee, Mark Sokolich, said on TV, like, the first day this broke, this means we're going to be the butt of jokes for 20 years. Hey, newsflash, Mark, we were going to be the butt of joke for 20 years no matter what. It did not matter, Chris Christie. People love mocking New Jersey. People sell T-shirts. You can make money. People sell T-shirts that Jersey sucks. Can you curse on the channel here or
no? No, you cannot.
No. All right, there's a shirt that says New Jersey. I'll use the word crappy.
Essie.
1787 for $43.99. You can buy that shirt. People are profiting off hating, mocking New Jersey. And so no matter what Chris Christie did, we were going to continue to be the big thing. And that's why I went through a list of past political scandals and pop culture phenomena that we contributed to, which has made us the butt of many a joke.
Yeah, and some of these I did not know. You talk about political money laundering. First of all, in 2009, yeah, two state assemblymen and three mayors were part of 44 people arrested in a money laundering plot that reached from Jersey Shore to Israel. The bizarre scandal also included the arrest of five rabbis, the sale of body parts, and the resignation of one official in the administration.
This is Jersey. Welcome to my state. Jersey strong, baby.
Jersey strong.
Look on that, America. You don't have that. You know, I mean, I actually put in my article, the history of mocking Jersey goes back to the founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin. I quote
you
a
said
joke.
That. Ben he Franklin actually, made a joke about Jersey.
He made a joke where he said, New Jersey's like a beer barrel tapped at both ends, with all the good beer running into Philadelphia and New York. So, you know, it's part of our DNA as our nation to mock the great state of New Jersey, where I think I was fortunate to be born, of my Palestinian father and Sicilian mother set down in New Jersey for some odd reason, and that's where I was conceived, born, and mostly raised.
Yeah, well, and you were saying that Philadelphia can't say that, so suck on that, Philadelphia.
Suck on that, Philly. That's my
suck
term
on
for the next week, just suck on it.
Right.
Whatever anybody says, they go, yeah, if I go on CNN, which they probably won't ever have me on again, but if I ever get back on CNN, I'm going to use this suck on it. suck on that, Aaron.
And, of course,
bingo.
And you mentioned other epic New Jersey fights, like Snooki fighting Angelina over Vinny, which I think we all recall.
Sure.
Yeah, on
Jersey Shore. And so you're going to – Chris Christie blocking traffic versus the Jersey Shore cast fighting each other? I mean,
right.
What's more of a butt of a joke? And that clearly – and the problem is Jersey Shore defined New Jersey to millions of Americans who really knew nothing about the state.
Well, and yeah, you're right. And there was a drunken Snooki in a fist fight at the Jersey Shore.
Yep. And right? There was a time she got punched in the face, which – unfortunate for her, but she was drunk and yelling in a bar, and a guy punched her, and that was all over. You know, it was a big episode on Jersey Shore. So people see that and they go, ah, oh, I get it. That's what Jersey's about.
That's Jersey. What, more importantly, who did Vinny choose? I don't recall.
I don't remember. I tried to block it. Even when writing the article, I was reading this stuff. I'm like, oh, my God.
Ultimately, I don't think he chose either one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, isn't that the final irony?
But she's a mom now, and things are better for Snooki. So she's.
Yeah, Snooki's actually got a good head on her
happier
shoulders.
Now, and, yeah. And, you know,
wow.
So, and like New Jersey, we're going to clean up our act, we're going to get knocked up, and then we're going to turn. Get knocked up, and things are going to work out for the best.
I had forgotten Governor James McGreevy's affair. I have to say, favorite political wife stare ever. No offense. Poor Dina McGreevy just looked like she'd been hit with a plank.
I remember that, and her face was like he didn't even tell her before the press event.
Right. No, exactly. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you're what now?
Expression, yeah.
You are. Oh, wow. That explains a lot.
It was very much like Masters of Sex. I'm not sure if you're watching that series, but I like that series. But he came out and said, "I'm a gay American," and like cut to her, like, what?
Well,
I thought we were just talking about some kind of event coming up here.
That's something you didn't want to mention in the car?
And that way over here?
He didn't resign because he was gay, just so people know. Jersey doesn't have a problem with gay people. We just have marriage equality just happened there. But it was because he had his lover on the state payroll, and he was paying the guy $110,000.
Right.
And the guy was not qualified at all for the position. He was an advisor to Homeland Security of the state, and there was no qualifications whatsoever for that job, just to keep his guy on the payroll.
He was described as wildly unqualified.
That's what the Star Ledger is called. That was New Jersey's big paper, the Star Ledger, used the term wildly unqualified. That's why I quote it. And that's, you know, there are guys who do this with women all the time. You know, this happened to be, we were ahead of our time, Jersey. We had a gay governor. I mean,
right.
Suck on that. Okay.
Hey, suck on it again.
Boom. Who else has a gay governor? I wish he would have stayed. We would have the first openly gay governor. Has there been a gay governor? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there has.
Yeah. That we don't know. Right, right. That not
right.
Openly.
Ah. Right, not openly.
Right. I only had that one date with Jan Brewer. What? What?
Hey! The entire state of Arizona just passed.
Jan Brewer.
Yeah.
Oh, she's scary.
And also you bring up the bad smells, the foul smells that are greeted by when driving from the Jersey Turnpike in the Elizabeth area has launched thousands of jokes. Yeah. So there's that right there, you were saying. If Christy
God.
Could solve
I can
that.
I forgive Christy for Bridgegate if he can
right.
stop that smell.
Yeah, what is that? Does anyone know?
It's poison.
It's toxic waste.
It's killing people. What did you say? Did Rick have a theory from New Jersey?
Yeah, I think the theory is they put the freeways through the toxic part. This is Jersey thinking. You know what? We put the freeway next to this crappy part. They get in, they get out, so we don't mess up the nice part with the freeway.
Right.
Right. We don't mess
I don't like the noise out my window.
Just drive fast, and you won't smell the poison.
Let the New York and Pennsylvania people go on the turnpike. They have no souls anyway, animals.
And
leave the Jersey people be safe a few miles away from the turnpike. Let the others suffer through it. Drive with your windows up.
And I had forgotten about Abscam. That was the 80s, right? FBI
was that
operation?
In Jersey?
Yeah.
Oh.
The scandal
Jersey's
inspired American Hustle.
That's
who
right.
just won
yeah.
awards the
yeah.
other night.
It is, and we had three elected officials. We had a U.S. Senator, Harrison Williams, who was huge. He was a big guy who went to jail. Then Camden Mayor and a Congressman, Frank Thompson, and a bunch of other people were involved. And it inspired American Hustle. So I can't wait for the film Bridgegate. I'm waiting for that movie. Who do you think would be Chris Christie? Who would you like?
You would say John Favreau.
Yeah, John.
Oh, you're
I think
right.
he'd be great.
Yeah.
John Goodman, maybe Jonah Hill, but maybe a little young.
Yeah.
Too young.
Yeah.
Garland.
Who?
Jeff Garland.
Oh, Jeff Garland.
Garland.
Oh,
oh
good
God.
One.
Oh,
yeah, perfect.
You win.
Oh, my God, perfect. You win, Rick Overton. All right, also you talk about big hair. That's been one of the other embarrassments of New Jersey before Bridgegate. But, you know, they always say hire the hair closer to God, right?
Who says that?
I don't know. Maybe
that's
someone
that
from
Texas. Yeah.
So that's far away from Jersey.
The big hair thing
get.
Was never good for us, and we got mocked for that forever. And, you know, at least Chris Christie said he's not a blow-dried politician, so no big hair. So if he's got that thing going for him right now, big other stuff, no hair.
Yeah,
so he's doing okay.
Yeah, and obviously we're saying Sopranos, as you say, not an embarrassment, really.
Not to me.
Right.
I'm half Italian. I liked it, but some, you know, it again made us, but I prefer Sopranos for 10 years over another, you know, Jerseylicious, that other stupid show, the big hair reality
yes.
show.
I don't think that's on the air anymore.
Sure. I'm sorry?
I don't think that's on the air anymore.
It just ended.
It did it?
The Style Network.
They were
doing the third season, and the Style Network folded and became Esquire.
Yeah.
But they were going to do a third season. They had shot it. So now it's in the can somewhere, just waiting for someone.
Well, speaking of Sopranos, has anyone yet proved that Chris Christie was not Bobby Baklava on The Sopranos? Because I...
That could be the... And tonight's the State of the State. And look, if he wants to get... I have advice from him, because the Tea Party people... Recent poll, only 15% of the Tea Party people like him. Tonight's State of the State. If he wants Tea Party on his side, make a speech, demonize Muslims, gays, immigrants, and minorities. Bingo, you'll go up to 40-50% with the Tea Party. They'll love him.
Yeah.
He's being, the problem is he's not embraced their craziness. And he's not moderate at all. He's a conservative. He's just not crazy conservative. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's in today's current Republican Party. All right, well, we will be watching the State of the State along with you, Dean Oblada.
All right, thank you very much. Great talking
great
to you all.
Great to talk to you, too. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour, Rick Overton live in studio. We roll along on The Stephanie Miller Show.
And now, here's something we hope you really like.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Everything we've discovered thus far from being back on TV for a week, Chris, every single person in the country is both a sound engineer and a set decorator.
That's right.
And thank you for all your suggestions. All right. No, we mean it, of course. Mike in West Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning, Mooks. I'm still getting over my flu, so I again apologize for sounding like Road Flair Mary.
Yes.
You know what?
Show me a poor Jew.
I want to thank Rick Overton for...
You know why you have the flu? Because the blacks and their Escalades took all the flu shots.
Rick, I want to thank you for actually changing my mind and making me get into stand-up 25 years ago.
Hey, man. Thanks a lot, Mike. Great.
So, I appreciate that. I have a lot of memories. No money, but a lot of memories.
That's all you need.
Welcome to the biz, pal.
I made the mistake of watching another cable show hosted by, I guess, a guy named, it's called Morning Snow.
Right. Or Squint and the Meat Puppet?
and Mika was talking about one of your co-broadcasters on free speech, Bill Press. He wrote an op-ed in the Hill newspaper.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, about, you know, kind of breaking down the whole Christie ridiculousness.
Right.
In the course of 4 minutes, Joe said Benghazi, IRS, and healthcare.gov 4 times.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. That's exactly the same thing. A glitchy website is shutting down an entire, the busiest bridge in the world. Right.
Yeah, but just their real futile attempt to re-stir the narrative is just sickening.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
The worst thing that could have happened to them did. People are realizing the pattern of, no, anything. Now they're just going cutting straight to, oh, anything you say is a lie from here on in.
Yeah.
We don't have to focus on separate details anymore. It's a blanket statement for you now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Has anyone proved that Reince Priebus is not Pee Wee Herman? Because I saw him on
Nathan. I'm trying to use the phone!
I'm going to send him some water.
Thank you, Mike. Another interesting piece. Where's that? Oh, Daily Beast. Before Bridgegate punished an enemy, Christie's office rewarded friends. I mean, this is just the guy's M.O.
What's your point?
Sometimes people find a big bag of cash.
Sometimes they find a big bag of glass.
Or a bag of diapers.
Hey, no wonder I dropped the ball. Someone greased my palm.
As a U.S. attorney, he was accused of using deferred prosecution agreements to steer no-bid contracts worth millions of dollars to his attorney buddies. You know what they're saying? Is this is why Romney didn't pick him when they did the vetting?
Oh, good heavens.
Oh, yeah. My.
Oh, my. I don't think they can involve any of that. They may take away my car elevator.
We can't have thugs. I'm running for president, for Pete's sake. We can't have illegals or gays or mobs. Dating back to his time as the U.S. attorney for New Jersey, Christie has been willing to utilize his public office to reward enemies and punish enemies, Daily Beast writing. These are two sides of the same coin. As U.S. attorney, Christie faced scrutiny for a number of alleged ethical lapses. What the Romney vetters probably found in 2012, they're saying, which helped keep him off the ticket, was that Christie had a habit of using controversial deferred prosecution agreements to award friends legal shops with millions of dollars in business. Bridgegate, and I like the analogies. A lot of people have talked, you know, not just the I am not a crook, I am not a bully, the Nixon analogies.
Right.
But Daily Beast saying Bridgegate, like Watergate was for Richard Nixon, is a scandal that will focus on what Christie knew and when he knew it. What is likely to become clear over time is that regardless of whether Christie signed off on this precise operation, he was running an office where there is a pervasive culture of abusing the public trust for political gain. Like I was saying, that was the thing that made me laugh out loud the most. This is not the atmosphere I've created here in this building for the last 4 years.
You want the atmosphere I created?
I mean, who knows if he's actually said anything or he just gave them the giant wink for Bridgegate.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, have some more of that atmosphere.
Time for that little Serb to have a bad day. I think you know what I'm saying. That's the worst part. The racism.
Man.
He's Croatian. Whatever.
What's the difference?
They kind of had a war over it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Over which was which. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Serbs and the Croatians. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, they point out Nixon never needed help from the Watergate break-in to win the 72 race in which he lost only one state. Christie didn't need an endorsement from the mayor of Fort Lee to win the 2013 race in which he lost only one county. But when you view your public office as a political post where you should reward friends and punish enemies, it's only a matter of time before such an abuse happens. And I think that, you know, that's why it's so easily understandable, I think, to people.
He's dead weight he's infinitely more valuable to the Democrats than he is to the Republicans right now.
Yeah.
If he were still in place in 2016, it's a done deal for Hillary, you know. It's now they could replace him with someone sexy, and I'm sure that's what I was saying before. They're scrambling. So who do you think they would pick next?
Yeah, Hillary's not even bothering picking out different pantsuits. She just needs one.
Yeah.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey, you, go easy on the communion wine today. Don't want another one of your drunken mishaps.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. By the way, speaking of drunken mishaps, Jacqueline Bisset explains her bizarre Golden Globe speech. Did you see this?
I didn't see it.
You didn't see her speech?
Mm-mm.
Oh, so how epic was it, Chris?
It went on. They played her off like three different times, and she just wouldn't leave. Yeah.
Just awesome. She said part of the reason her offbeat behavior might have been she didn't know her category was coming up. Right.
It was the first
of
the night.
Not that she was drunk. which clearly... she said, I was told my category was coming up second from last, so I was absolutely stunned. I wondered why the guy was there with the camera on me. I was completely out of it. I was thinking about my dinner, and I still haven't gotten my dinner yet.
Now, there you go.
That's it. Asked about her speech. I can't really remember what I said, actually.
Oh, we'll play it back
for
you.
Thanks to YouTube.
Well, let's give you a little reminder. You have an hour to spare? We'll play it back for you.
First of all, I don't think they expected her to win, Rick, so she was seated in... Tarzana.
Siberia.
Tarzana, yeah. I think. Yeah. It was a long walk. And then it was a Jan Brewer-sized, like, just pause at the beginning before you're like, oh, no, she's got nothing.
Why didn't she pull a Merritt Weaver and just say, you know, thanks, I got to go.
Thanks, I got to go. See ya.
Yeah. That was the most brilliant Emmy speech ever.
Right.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, uh-huh. Exactly. She could have gone with the flu. I don't know what Chris, I told you I had to take an ambulance.
Yes.
My friend came to take me to the ER, and I was babbling incoherently.
Yeah.
And I soaked in sweat, and I, you know, the whole thing.
Well,
I
do. That's your show.
Headache. Right, exactly.
Do you remember calling me?
Did I call you, really?
Yes, you did.
What did I say?
Rob's
take an
ambulance. Do you need me to come over?
Balderdash, madam, you simply have a case of the vapors.
Are you going to be at work tomorrow? What?
I don't think so. No, I told you. I still have the glue on my arm from the IV they put. I don't even know what. Fluids, morphine, mm-hmm. Xanax. All I remember is just like just rocking back and forth. It really was Jacqueline Bisset's speech, basically. I remember in the emergency room just going, no.
You're like Juliette Lewis in the video for Come to My Window.
And because I've spent so much time around Jim, I assumed it was Fukushima. All right, Jim, let's get to it.
I assumed it was wine.
I told you, everything goes to... When I stop drinking, I drink in over a week. Everything is... Jim, did you see this? Because I know you've been concerned, let's just say, about the Fukushima stuff. Uh-huh. But I'm just curious, because you're a liberal guy. You believe in science. Why? Because you said something earlier. Do you not believe the scientists that are saying...
Well, there are some scientists who are... For example, they're working for the NRC. They're in the position of both regulating and promoting nuclear energy.
But this is not the like one global warming scientist that works for Exxon. I mean, this is a lot of experts and a lot of scientists that are saying Fukushima, that there's a lot of fear-mongering
going
on.
A lot of hype.
And I'm just saying that's the danger of just forwarding things on the internet and going, oh, this
but
is...
Yeah, a lot of these things I see on Facebook, you know, starfish melting, they're all from sites that are like, where did that come from?
Right.
Why do they have gravitas?
Well, no, but they have, you know, robotic submarines, cameras.
Well, one of them is a guy with a Geiger counter at Half Moon Bay. It's like that guy with a metal detector.
Yeah.
And there's like 650,000 views of this guy. I mean, anyway, this was the LA Times yesterday.
And most people don't know how a Geiger counter works, so if they just hear clicks, oh my God, we're dying!
No, they teach you how to use one.
I know, but people who are watching the video all hear clicks and oh my God, we're
it's clicking!
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Right. Exactly.
No, Jim, I understand. I understand, you know, it's not like you're the only one that has, like, some anti-government, you know, like, government skepticism. But this is these are scientists. These are not, you know... not one scientist. Anyway, the LA Times, let me just read. Radiation detected off the west coast from Fukushima in Japan has declined since the 2011 tsunami disaster and never approached levels that pose a risk to human health, seafood, or wildlife, scientists say. I didn't listen to you to stop eating sushi anyway, but I'm just saying. experts have been trying to dispel worries stemming from a burst of online videos and blog posts in recent months that contend radiation from Fukushima is contaminating beaches and seafood and harming sea creatures in the Pacific.
But there is also a thought, though. It's not done. It's just ramping up.
Right.
They have no idea how to control it.
And it's pouring
That's
into
the
Pacific Ocean right now.
Okay. But I'm just reading.
It's just getting started.
Right, but what they're saying is it easily dissipates. Scientists are saying that it easily dissipates in seawater.
Mm.
The scientists are saying these assertions are false and the concerns are largely unfounded, scientists said last week, because Fukushima, they said in the ocean water, their trace levels are declining so low they're trivial compared with what already exists in nature.
I know, but there could be a movement among certain scientists to try to tamp down the hysteria and make people feel better about it, which doesn't
mean
it's
not happening.
Why do
you want to believe the worst? I don't get it. Why do you not have... I'm just saying. Because to me, I
know, you're a happy clappy.
They're scientists! Anyway, they're saying concentrations of the radioactive stuff in the nuclear plant were detected. Because this is what you were talking about in bluefin tuna, which migrate from Japan, obviously, to here. Were very low to begin with, have been falling since 2011. A professor of marine science, he guess he's in on the conspiracy. The dose is measurable, but it's extremely low, he said. Even in its worst months after the disaster, the dose found in tuna caught off California was far lower than people who are exposed to X-rays or eating bananas or other potassium-rich...
Bananas?
But they have been observing all different species having problems. Whales, dolphins... Again, the starfish,
right, but is it caused
jellyfish.
By that or just the general pollution of the oceans?
Well, all at the same time, suddenly all these different species are suffering, seals.
Yeah, but long before
sardines.
Fukushima, right?
No, this is after Fukushima, all this started happening.
Anyway, well
you know about 2.5 years ago.
You know about the crew of the Kennedy?
No, what's the Kennedy?
Oh, the aircraft carrier, because they're sailing into... Japanese waters, and they don't carry their own water. They use desalinization, and they're getting all these horrific cancers. Because
they're all getting thyroid cancers, like a wave of thyroid
all
cancer
kinds of cancers,
on the Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Chris, is it me? It's just a lot of this is based on this video posted on YouTube with a guy with a Geiger counter in Half Moon Bay that received 650,000 views.
It's not all that.
Okay. Let's see, the California Department of Public Health, do we trust them? They send inspectors to, to investigate the same radiation levels there. Their analysis indicates they are naturally occurring, probably from minerals in the sand and not associated with Fukushima. An oceanographer at the University of Washington also went on the plot. Noticed a surge in outrageous worries about radiation in Seattle last fall, including people who were afraid to go to the beach and stop eating seafood. Since then, she and other scientists have been posting information on Deep Sea News with posts including, is the seafloor littered with dead animals due to radiation? No. What they're saying is obviously no one's saying that Fukushima wasn't a disaster.
It is, continues to be.
Right, but they're saying they dilute quickly in ocean water. They're saying, unfortunately, one scientist said there are consequences of this disaster, but the problem is really only in Japan, which is not to minimize it for the people of Japan.
No, absolutely not. Regarding this thyroid cancer thing, it's the USS Ronald Reagan.
It's the Reagan.
Right.
I'm only
finding it at one place, a site called Red Flag News. They sound reputable. Mm. Where are you getting this from? Are you just reading things on the internet and then putting it out there as fact?
That was,
I did a quick search. USS Kennedy, thyroid.
The only?
I thought it was the USS Rutherford B. Hayes. I see I was incorrect.
I mean, you know, it maybe, but when one site called redflagnews.com reports
Jim, this
it,
is
well,
the
I don't
part,
know that I would take it as fact.
I don't, I mean, again, we try to, I'm not trying to denigrate you, but it's interesting in the LA Times, this is what they say for now, those observations have not quelled the conspiracy theories. And that's what I just wonder is when you are presented with stuff from scientists, why it, I mean, Heal the Bay, do you trust them? I trust them. I think they do great work. Uh-huh. They fielded a swell of alarmist calls, emails, and Facebook inquiries. And he said, they said, like, everything we do, we're guided by the best available science. So they did a whole Q&A, down all these.
I hope they're right.
Yeah, well, I do. I mean, me too. But, you know, I'm just saying, I don't get how, and I get how conspiracy theories get started. I just don't know how, when scientists chime in, you just assume they're all what, working for the nuclear?
Not all of them, obviously, but they're, I'm
talking to the mic.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought I was. Yeah. It's just that there is a tendency to want to quell people's paranoia about it. And, you know, which is a valuable resource. I just don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know. And Harvey Wasserman is saying something different. He's been following nuclear stuff for ages since Three Mile Island. And again, there was the whole story that, well, no one died at Three Mile Island. Well, not immediately.
Right.
But there were cancer clusters and
listen, I grew up. I grew up new there, and there was a lot of people with a hump on their back. Just saying.
Perhaps I could help you with that hump.
I don't know if it's connected. I don't know if it's connected or not.
You also kind of grew up near Love Canal.
Right?
Like dangerously close to Love Canal.
This explains a lot of what happened here.
Oh, okay. Well, now it all makes sense.
Mark in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good. Jim's backup is here. Hello, Mark.
Well, hi. Jim's backup is here, and Stephanie's backup is here. I happen to be have been in the nuclear business. I've worked San Onofre, Diablo Canyon, and I currently live about 60 miles from Crystal River, which is my home plant. And in defense of common sense observations, when Fukushima did occur, Crystal River happened to be in possession of a device, a very expensive device, which was able to read Fukushima's spike here in west central Florida. So The point I wanted to make, just from a political perspective, is when you have retired officers, many times high-ranking officers at the Pentagon, they roll right over and work for Raytheon, Boeing, or Martin Marietta, Sikorsky. So there happens to be, just like in any business, whether or any governmental service, there tends to be a confluence of controlled outcome of speech for political positioning and for jobs. And so a group or a couple, and no conspiracy. If people make statements, they say, "Well, hey, this guy is starting to play ball on our court. Let's put him to work for us." And then kicking from $119,000 a year, to $1 million a year salary for the corporate agenda. So there is influence in the nuclear business, just like in any other business. And that would be my point. I don't disagree with your observation, but I would just say there is. There are political influences in our business as well, Stephanie.
Well, you know what I think it is? Jim jokes about it, but I think he doesn't like to hear good news, and I don't like to hear bad news. So we balance each other out on the show.
And therein lies the purpose of the show.
There you go.
I don't trust good news. It means something bad's about to happen.
Bad news, so.
It's too late.
What is your purpose here?
I just
flex. Good boy. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments. Rick Overton live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Hey. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. What? Was Oprah here? Our phone lines are fixed. Did
I
you
know.
See? Look, Oprah can fix your toilet.
Your toilet.
Did you see Gail King tweeted a picture of her?
Yeah.
Wow.
She
working
said,
the float.
Right. She tweeted, stars, they're just like us. Oprah at her other job, plumber. she must have fixed my headphones and the phone lines.
Are your
Although I doubt
fixed?
She'd help me after I, you know, I killed her last network.
Yeah, that's true.
Only one. I didn't do anything to own.
Yet.
Hasn't given me a chance.
Maybe that's why she's a billionaire.
Let's go to John in North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, John.
Hey, Steph. Just wanted to let you know Jim is right. I'm tempted to say dead right about the radioactive iodine. Those nuclear plants literally blew up and spewed that stuff all over the place, but it has a short half-life. Mm-hmm. The thing I can't figure, though, is these Navy ships have got to have potassium iodide pills to resist that stuff in the event of nuclear war.
You would think.
And why they didn't give it to their crew to protect them from that stuff is just baffling.
Mm. I guess I figure if you're in the military, you're cannon fodder. And you have no rights anymore.
They need Sean Connery in that submarine movie.
Most things in this room don't respond well to bullets.
One ping for Sheely.
I just tricked them into dueling
you
Sean
did.
Connery.
Yep.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Sean. I thought you had something else to say. Oh, by the way, peace has broken out with Iran. I don't know.
Well, not a
conditional.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Right. I don't know that I'd say peace, but.
Right. An agreement.
It's a bit of a framework-ish type
thing. Which is
thing.
Too French and gay for, you know, Lindsey Graham, of course.
You know,
Senator Butch me up.
Inspectors and sub weapons grade nuclear stuff is all that's allowed, right?
The president talking about it's an interim agreement, ladies and gentlemen.
This interim agreement is the result of concerted international action, including unprecedented sanctions. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. But ultimately, this is how diplomacy should work.
Oh, Senator John Barrasso, and you can't say Barrasso, Jim, without
ass or bore.
Anybody that trusts Iran hasn't really been paying attention for the last 30 years. They cheat, they lie, and cannot be trusted. It is sanctions, tough sanctions, that actually drove Iran to this point. And I think that relieving sanctions is a terrible mistake.
Yeah, just keep hitting the hammer harder.
Yeah.
That'll fix it.
Yeah, just keep poking them with a sharp stick. What could go wrong?
With a shark stick?
Shark stick?
Sharp stick.
A shark stick.
A sharpie?
A shark stick.
Hey, you highlighted me. Stop it. Rick, I was asking you during the break about the Robert Gates book. Is it me? I don't get what the bombshell is. First of all, it's mostly complimentary. And second of all, the criticism of the president is that he wanted to get out of Afghanistan. I'm like, okay, good. Perfect. He questioned the generals. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
He thinks like the rest of America thinks like the room full of men he is in.
Yeah. And by the way, the president, as always, taking the high road. About Robert Gates.
During his tenure here, Secretary Gates was an outstanding Secretary of Defense, a good friend of mine, and I'll always be grateful for his service.
Boy, you know when John McCain says you're a little too cranky, something has...
Yeah.
He should have waited.
Yeah.
The president's out of office. The president again.
He and I and the rest of my national security team came up with a strategy for Afghanistan that was the right strategy, and we are continuing to execute. And I think that what's important is that we got the policy right.
By the way, who isn't questioning Afghanistan? Who isn't going, for instance, I was wondering, how come we've been there longer than every United States war?
Almost combined.
Combined, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. The president, one more time.
Just as I have continued to have faith in our mission. Most importantly, I've had unwavering confidence in our troops and their performance in some of the most difficult situations imaginable. That job is not yet done.
By the way, why is Robert Gates in a neck brace?
He had an injury.
Oh.
Yes. But it's
not related to the book.
It's weird because he just had the injury, and so some of these interviews that were taped just a little bit ago, like a week ago, he doesn't have the neck brace, but in the live interviews he does.
Because so if this were the Chris Christie scandal, you'd go, what happened?
Yeah.
It's from all the
like everything in the book.
So all the about faces he was doing.
Yeah, there you go.
In the book.
Robert Gates.
Yeah. I think the book is very even-handed. I don't vilify anybody, and I make clear that I have a lot of respect for both President Bush and President Obama.
Oh, right. They're exactly the same. Why?
Right.
One more time, Robert.
It's one thing to tell the troops that you support them. It's another to work at making them believe that you believe, as president, that their sacrifice is worth it. It was this absence of passion, this absence of a conviction of the importance of success that disturbed me.
Whatever.
I'm kind of glad he's gone.
Only one way to solve Afghanistan, Iran, and North Korea, and that's Dennis Rodman, of course. Dennis Rodman.
Sure, he'll fix it.
Did you see he apologized for... What he sort of implied that the guy that's the American that's in prison might have deserved it.
Yeah.
Because he was there playing basketball and singing happy birthday to, you know.
Kim Jong-un.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Please, the happy birthday song has the phrase, and please don't feed me to your dogs.
Which that turned out to be a... was a, apparently a hoax.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
I love this.
It was a great punchline.
Yeah, it was.
He sang to Kim Jong-un, and he said, a lot of people have expressed different views about me and your leader, your marshal. I take that as a compliment. Yes, he's a great leader. He provides for his people in this country, and thank God the people here love him. Yes, they love him, or he will feed them to the dogs.
The irony of over there feeding a human to a dog.
Jim, I mean, Rick Louise Overton. All right, get out. That's it for us. Rick Overton, thank you for coming in today. What's the website?
RickOverton.net.
Do it. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.